Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, and my goal is to take you on an inspiring journey of self-discovery and relationship recovery. I'm the host of the show, but this is really all about you, and it's for you, the single woman who wants to date smart and find the love of her life. On this show, casual sex is dumb, being choosy is smart, and the prize is a healthy, loving relationship that lasts. So call in, share your dating and relationship stories, ask the questions that keep you awake at night, and get coaching. The number to call in is 347-308-8511. That's 347-308-8511. Now, stay tuned for Love Strategies.
Welcome, everybody. This is Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, your host. If this is your first time here, welcome to the show. If you've been here before, I'm so glad you're back. Today, I have a lot to talk about on this show. First of all, a new study suggests that if you're like Slutty Joan, you're going to get a worse rap from your female friends than Slutty Jim will get from his buddies. Are we still in these sexual double standards? Is that still going on? What does that mean to you and your world as far as dating and relationships go? Well, we're going to talk about that as well as how all of this impacts you and your sex life. Also on this show, does Facebook cause breakups? Well, the short answer is it depends. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. I'm going to let you know when it does and when it doesn't and why. And what do you think about this question? When you get married, is your marriage more likely to last if you met online, or is it more likely to last if you met in person? You may be surprised at the answer to that question. Think about that and be ready to kind of weigh in. If you're listening and you want to call in, the number again is 347-308-8511. Well, first let's talk about Slutty Joan and Slutty Jim. Now, I didn't make up those terms. It came from a new study that was published in the Journal of Social and Personal Relationships from Cornell University. So what the research is showing us is that women tend to be shamed for being promiscuous far more than men do. So what they did is they asked college women to read about a hypothetical female peer who they named Joan, and later on they called her Slutty Joan. So anyway, and they asked these college women to rate their feelings about this woman as a person. And so if one group of women, they told the story that Joan had two lifetime partners, sexual partners, you know, not at the same time. But to the other group of women, they said she'd had 20 different lovers. And so what do you think they did? Well, they said the Joan with 20 partners was not as nice a person. They called her less competent. They said she was less emotionally stable, less warm, and less dominant than the Joan that they read about who only had two lifetime partners. So Slutty Joan is just kind of a euphemism or a name for this made-up person, but it's reading about this study and looking at how women evaluate one another around their sexuality and whether or not they're promiscuous is just another example of this mounting pile of evidence that women are very harsh with one another. And so there have been other studies that have been done on other issues about how women judge one another, but that, I think, is what keeps turning up, is that women are really heavily judgmental about one another. But the interesting thing is other studies have been done about men and how they view one another if they see a guy who's promiscuous versus one who's not. So they did another study. They made up a guy named Jim who they ended up calling Slutty Jim, but then they also had the made-up prudish Jim. And so what do you think men did when presented with this evidence of these two different types of guys And what it shows is that men really don't think so much about it. They don't really care. They don't think less of a guy because he's out there being a player. In fact, they're more likely to think less of a guy if he's too much of a prude. So it's interesting how we look at this. But here's what the real news is. It's not so much what we think of each other about it. To me, that's not the issue. So what? We know that women don't think as highly of each other if they think a woman is promiscuous. We also know that women are judged by the men they date if they're perceived to be promiscuous. So that's the judgmental piece. But here's the thing to really think about, and that is, what about your own life, your own sex life, and what about your decision-making around your sexuality? Whether you are a man or a woman, across the board, it just does not pay off in life to be sexually promiscuous. It puts you in a position so that relationships become throwaway and expendable. People who are promiscuous have a tendency to develop a certain level of emotional numbing, where they just don't attach to other people as easily or as deeply. And so over time, if that's how you live your life, you just become less and less able to have a long-term monogamous relationship. Now, you might think, if you're listening to this, you might think, well, you know, I don't really care that much. I don't know if I ever want to get married, and I don't want kids. And, you know, you may think that these are decisions that don't really impact you because who cares? Because I don't really know where I'm going in my life anyway. But what really ends up happening is that you get older, you mature, you think about life differently, and then one day you realize that you do want a relationship, but now you've got this long track record of going to bed with a lot of different partners. And like it or not, whether we think this is smart or not, the truth is that you are going to have a difficult time explaining your relationship history to someone new, especially if the person that you are trying to attach yourself to and trying to fall in love with and trying to have them fall in love with you, if that person is someone who's really kind of saved themselves for significant relationships, that person is just has a different set of boundaries around their sexuality than what you have had, you're going to have difficulty connecting with them, you're going to have difficulty explaining to them, and you're going to have difficulty living with the fact that you come from a very different place in your lives. And the other issue is how we judge ourselves. Because, again, you know, you can try to be all modern and your thinking and so on and so forth, but in reality, when you look at the studies, what you see is that people who are very sexually active, on some kind of level, they know that they're being used and that they are using other people, and on some kind of a level, they don't really feel very good about themselves, so it can impact your self-esteem. So, all in all, then, you know, what this really boils down to is if you really want to live a good life, if you want to have a loving relationship that lasts, it just doesn't pay to be promiscuous. It really doesn't. So if you can learn how to reserve your sexuality for committed relationships, I just think it makes for a better quality of life. Now, here's an interesting thing I ran across this week. Does Facebook cause breakups or not? So the headline is this. Guess what? If you have just started dating someone, it might be smart to limit your time on Facebook. That's right, because this study found that new couples, so these are people in newbie relationships, you know, 6 months or less, but if those people, if one or more of those people is using Facebook a lot, they are far more likely to get into conflict over Facebook. There's jealousy that gets stirred up, emotional and physical cheating, breakup and divorce, all these things seem to come out of that kind of behavior. So what they did was to study how people are using Facebook and how much time they use it, how much time they spend on it, and then look at their relationships. What happens to them? Do they cheat? Do they break up? Do they have divorce? And so what they found is that if you're using Facebook a lot, and they don't describe what a lot is, so you're going to have to make your own judgment call about that. But what they're finding is that as a whole, people who are spending a lot of time on Facebook do not have healthy relationships. It really impacts the relationship. First of all, the person who's not on Facebook all the time is likely to be jealous because there's all this activity going on Facebook. Well, why are you talking to them? Why are you talking to her? Why are you doing all these comments back and forth? Why are you clicking on her site all the time and adding your comments to her posts? Well, why are you doing that? So it turns into that kind of a discussion and that kind of an argument and that kind of conflict. And then the other thing is that people do connect on Facebook sometimes in ways that are inappropriate. They start putting little flirty comments on each other's walls, and next thing you know, it's why don't we meet for coffee, or let's talk on the phone, or let's take this to email, or let's do something else. Let's further that connection. And sometimes that leads to, at the very least, emotional affairs. And you know what an emotional affair is? An emotional affair is when you are saying things, emailing, texting, talking on the phone, or sitting at lunch, or whatever, but your conversation, your communication with another person is something that you would not say in front of your significant other. And you would not want them to know that you were saying those things to that other person. That's how you know it's an emotional affair, because it's gone outside of an appropriate boundary. You know it would be a problem in your relationship, and you do it anyway. So that is what an emotional affair is. And, of course, emotional affairs sometimes, not always, but sometimes lead to physical affairs. But I can also tell you that an emotional affair will do just as much damage to your significant relationship as a physical affair. So here's the bottom line. If you're trying to conduct your social life on Facebook, you're missing out on real relationships. We all need face-to-face. We need to be in front of people. We need to see their eyes. We need to see their facial expressions. And the other thing is we need to be in one another's real lives in order to have real relationships. So if you're spending a lot of time on Facebook, you're probably investing in fantasy rather than investing in real relationships. And if that's what you're investing in, you're going to have a difficult time if you do meet someone in the real world. So let's trim that back and let's do more real world stuff. It's just better all the way around. Okay, here's another one. Here's a question I want you to think about. Do you believe that when you get married, your marriage is more likely to last than if you met online? You're going to be surprised at the answer to that question. And we're going to talk about that and some other things when we come back from this little break.
Hi, I'm Nina Atwood. Does this sound familiar to you? You start a new relationship full of hope that maybe this time he's the one. But weeks, months, or even years later, you realize that although the name and face have changed, the story is the same. He's all wrong for you, and now you have to continue suffering or start all over. Well, you don't have to keep repeating the same old patterns. If you want to raise your relationship game and put yourself on a whole new course for a happy, healthy, lasting love, get Temptations of the Single Girl, the 10 Dating Traps You Must Avoid. This is a self-help book like no other. It's a parable, an easy, fast story you can read in 2 to 3 hours. The fact that it's a story and not just dry, boring data means you'll retain the lessons learned far longer. And the more you retain, the greater the changes you'll be able to make in your life. That's why I wrote it this way, to make it easy for you to get what you need to permanently alter your love life for the better. You can get the book by clicking on the book cover right from the show page, or you can go to singlescoach.com, find the tab for books and tapes, then click on Singles Coach A Store. Temptations of the Single Girl is available through Amazon.com and as a Kindle book. And now back to more love strategies.
So, do you believe that when you get married, your marriage is more likely to last if you met online or more likely to last if you met in person? The answer is, it is more likely to last if you met online. I was astonished when I ran across this study. This really surprised me because now I'm a big believer in using online tools to meet people. I think it's a fabulous way to get an opportunity to meet a lot of different people and to find someone that you really can connect with. I have a number of friends and, of course, a lot of clients who met online, very happily married. So I know it really works, but what surprised me is that you stand a greater chance of success if you meet online than if you meet in the real world. That really surprised me. So, and they looked at 20,000 people who got married in the last, you know, decade or so. Over a third of them met their spouses online, and their marriages were 25% more likely to last than those of couples who'd met, you know, the usual way at work or through family and friends or in a bar or whatever. So this study is really a landmark study which shows that people who go on dating sites to find a partner tend to have greater success when they do find someone in terms of staying married and being happily married. And they think that, you know, some of the theories about that are that most people, not all, but most people who go online to look for a partner are really serious about finding someone to marry. They tend to be less likely to be just out there for no reason or to play games. So I think that And that also surprised me because a lot of people are online playing games, but apparently there's an awful lot of people out there who are very serious about finding a great relationship. And when those people connect, it's like they've already leveled the playing field. They have the same agenda. They don't have to waste a whole lot of time trying to figure out are you marriage-minded or not, because that's usually the first thing that they get on the table when they meet. Sometimes also because of the nature of the site that you visit, that you found one another, you tend to share a value system, similar interests, and that sort of thing. And then all you have to do is figure out the chemistry part when you get together. So I thought that was really interesting, and also it really confirms what I've believed for a long time, which is that going online to find a partner is a very legitimate and valid way to meet someone and can be very powerful for you. So if you haven't already gotten it, download my book, my ebook, Internet Dating for the Savvy Single. It's available on Amazon.com and on BarnesandNoble.com. It's a 99-cent ebook, and it will really help you jumpstart your journey of going online to find people to date and hopefully to find that right relationship that you will stick with. Okay, I'm getting a question from someone, and the person that is writing in to me has a question about her life, so let me just look at that question just a moment. Okay, here we go. Let me just read it to you, and I'll address it here on the air. So, Dear Nina, I am absolutely loving your Dating Temptations book. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and insight on dating relationships. Well, you're very welcome. I have a question related to the beginning of online dating relationships prior to the initial meeting. I've been enjoying email, text, and phone conversations with a man I met online about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So far, we have a very good rapport. He and I live in different parts of the country. I have a close-up picture posted on the dating site, but it's not a full-body shot. My question is whether it is a red flag that periodically he asks or hints around about me sending additional pictures, though I've already addressed his request by letting him know that I'll be getting some professional pictures taken and will send those once that's done. I do fully intend to get them done, but I have a full work schedule, plus I was out of the country for a week. I don't consider myself to be particularly photogenic, which is why I find it important to get pictures done professionally. I know for certain that I am better looking in person. I know he doesn't really know me yet, but I am a woman of my word, and I will do it as soon as I can free my schedule. I feel a little pushed, but I don't want to be hypersensitive. Perhaps I'm asking too much by asking him to be patient. I would love to hear your thoughts on this, Kaylee. All right, Kaylee, well, let me just put this right up front. Men are visual, at least with regard to initial attraction, so I'm really not surprised that he's pushing you to get photographs. He's trying to make a judgment call about whether or not he's trying to figure out the chemistry based on your pictures. Again, men are very visual. And yeah, we can talk all day long about how shallow that is, but the reality is that men will do that. And the reality is that you have to deal with it. So and here's the other thing. I don't see any reason to wait for professional shots. Digital cameras do incredibly good shots. The resolution is so good that you almost don't need professional shots. You can have a friend take some photos of you. The best kind would be outdoors on a cloudy day, facing the light, and that minimizes lines in your face. It usually makes people look not only natural, but it really makes your eye color pop out and that sort of thing. So that's what I would suggest. Just be very natural and smiling. You know, if you're a little worried about your weight or something like that, wear your most flattering jeans and a little top. And just be natural. Be yourself. Here's what you're risking, whether you do it this way or whether you rush off to the professional photographer and all of that. And the reality is he may look at your photos, make a judgment, and decide that you are not his physical type. And if that happens, so be it. You have to be ready to let people go quickly if they aren't really crazy about you, and especially with internet dating. So I'm going to suggest, Kaylee, that you become a lot more bold about who you are, including how you look, whether it's in a photo or in person or whatever, and just let the chips fall. You know, don't try to control this process to get some kind of an ideal outcome that you have in your mind, because ideal is just not necessarily going to happen for you. Instead, what I'd like to see you do is just to say, you know what, I am who I am. I'd like to see you really expand your dating outreach online so that you're not narrowing down to one guy when it's still very early in the process. You should be talking to 3 or 4 or 5 guys at one time, hopefully. So what I want you to do is really cast a wider net, bring more people into your space, and stop trying to control the outcomes of it. Just let the chips fall. Be exactly who you are. Send photos right and left and just let them do what they're going to do. If a guy is going to look at your picture and decide that you are not his type based on that, then guess what? He would have found something anyway. It's not going to work. What you want is a guy who looks at your pictures and says, wow, I can't wait to meet you. Wow, you are cute. You're beautiful. That's what you want. And beauty really is in the eye of the beholder. I guarantee that is the case. So you don't have to worry about it, because the right guy is going to look at you and be wowed. And he is going to not be able to wait until he sees you. Okay, and this next piece I'm addressing to you, Kaylee, but also to anyone out there who's dating on the internet. And this is the much bigger issue. This is the one that you really have to look out for. And that is dating somebody who lives across the country. Why are you doing that? Why would you date someone that lives several states away from you? I have to ask this. Are you super wealthy? Is he super wealthy? Can one or both of you afford to fly to visit each other multiple times per month while you get to know each other? Because that is what it takes. when you date someone who lives a long way off, you have to have the income and the wealth, no kidding, to be able to fly back and forth 2 or 3 times per month. It's not enough once per month. It's not enough once every other month or once every third month. It's not enough. You need to immerse yourselves in one another's lives. And it shouldn't be him flying to see you and never you seeing him. It should be back and forth, back and forth. So if you don't have the kind of wealth that allows you to do that kind of travel, to spend lots and lots of time in each other's worlds, and not just the wealth, but the time on your hands, the luxury of time. So that's two forms of wealth. You're wealthy monetarily, and you're wealthy with your time. Then you have a shot at having a relationship come together when you are super long distance. I don't see those relationships working out. The only time I do is when it's the rich and famous. These are people with a lot of discretionary income and very flexible schedules. Those folks can make it work. They go back and forth. They spend a month at a time in each other's homes and that sort of thing. But for everyone else, if you're working and you have a job and you don't have the luxury of a lot of time except for a little bit of vacation, and if you don't have this kind of uber wealth, it's just not going to work. And you're going to churn up months or even years of your life on something that ends up nowhere. Or you churn up months of your life, then one of you makes the rash decision to go ahead and move to the other's city, and then that relationship often doesn't work out. So my best advice to you and anyone else who's thinking about dating people that live way the heck away from you, don't do it. And if you're just starting one like you are, Kaylee, move on. There are so many great people out there who are in your area, not that far away from you. And I would say just keep moving forward and look for someone new. All right, well, you're listening to Love Strategies. This is Nina Atwood. I want to thank you for joining me on the show today. And I want to give a very special acknowledgement to my loving and devoted husband, Mark. Please be sure and join me again.
Thank you for joining us at Love Strategies. Be sure and visit the premier website for single men and women who want to date smart, singlescoach.com. Sign up for the newsletter and you'll get notifications for this show as well as other free dating tips. If you want a coach to support you in your growth and recovery, go to Singles Coaching on the website and choose personal coaching. That's it for today, and be sure and tune back in for more love strategies so you can date smart and find the love of your life.